Welcome back. A very beautiful illustration from our pastor. If I didn't know my Bible now, I would have called him apostle.
Chief apostle.
Because of this
chief
analogy chief. That he just gave. Okay, chief apostle. But thank God we are not following damnable races.
At
we are
all.
About to do that. Thank you so much, sir. This is very eye-opening. Not living the ancient landmarks. And I'm missing it in one degree. Can even lead you from that pathway of rest. Yes, sir. There are some few controversial issues that we came across, and they've been very, very controversial for a long time in Christendom. And we want to know whether they are damnable heresies. The teaching that says that a Christian woman can wear trousers, is that a damnable heresy?
You see, honestly speaking, Brother Olumide, I am a preacher of the word of God.
Hallelujah.
I came across this message of restoration in 1989. When I was seeking for the truth, when I gave my life to Christ the same year, and I knew something was wrong. One Bible, and as I read within that period, I couldn't see where the church got fragmented into the different denominations.
That's right.
That we
That's
have right. today. You know, if you are reading this Bible, you know, prayerfully and sincerely too, there are questions that will come up. And then through a process of time, God brought me to see the ministry of William Branham.
Hallelujah.
And I thank God, he who seeks we find.
Amen.
Amen.
And though we all know today that ministry is largely misunderstood and mostly by even the followers.
True, sir.
Yeah, mostly, and very unfortunate. But I thank God for that ministry.
Amen.
You see, when you are sincere, God leads you. You know, when I came into the ministry of William Branham also, even from his messages, there were still questions. When you see seemingly conflicting statements, and we are meant to understand he's a prophet, and we did not see the pattern of his in the Bible, where you say one thing, you say one another. So it was going to create confusion. But God is not an author of confusion.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, that ministry needed to be understood, or Satan will use that same ministry and destroy you again. Who was running away from error. And it was in answer to my heart desire, faithfully looking for truth. That is what a lot of people who are close to me, my Christian brothers and friends, ministers, I mean, some friends of mine, find very difficult to understand my person. I am a follower of truth wherever it comes from. I seek to identify with it. Till tomorrow, if the Pope of Rome says anything that is true, I will say amen and I will preach it. I won't say because it is the Pope, as much as we know they are the manufacturers of the errors of the Christian faith today. That therefore, if he says the truth, I will not accept it. I will. So also with William Branham. If he says anything that is contrary to the Bible, I will reject it. And if I jam anything he says that is scriptural, I will say amen. And I will preach it.
Amen.
You see, and that is what the problem of many of my close friends have with me. If we accept William Branham as a prophet, then everything he says. And that's the same spirit with the denominations. If you accept your geo as the voice of God to you people there, then whatever he teaches you must be correct. But I happen to know that if you are going to stay with the scripture and the leadership of the spirit and follow what the spirit is telling the church in this end time, if you are going to preach this message effectively, then we need more than going before the pulpit and pray and tell them, see the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth. The reason is because while you are saying the Bible says so, Or you are saying the Holy Ghost says so because there are some of the things that are not written in the Bible. You see, for instance, dressing.
Yeah.
In the New Testament, the only thing you hear about dressing in the New Testament is about moderation. But what to put on, what not to put on is not spelled out there. It's in the Old Testament. You are talking about trousers. I know you are making reference to only one scripture in the Bible. There are two references, two groups of people. I mean, let me call it references about dressing. The dressing for the priest is spelled out there.
True.
And in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5.
Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord.
Now this is where we're going. Now, I can come and stand now and say that what God hate yesterday, he still hates it today.
Hallelujah.
Is that not the truth?
Very changed notes. Amen.
Now, but a motivational speaker, anointed with the same spirit that serpent was anointed with, will come to Eve and twist it. I've heard Oyakhilome said that word pertain, the way he put it is that if it is a man, you are wearing this dress, don't take the same dress. It belongs to Gabriel, he's a man.
Okay, sir, let's listen to another man of God.
Another one?
Yes.
Okay.
We have that of Apostle Joshua Selman speaking about women putting on trousers. Let's listen to this audio message from Apostle Selman.
There are several other doctrines. Should women preach in church? Should they be allowed to preach in church? Others say, forget it. Every woman preaching in church is going to hellfire, because the Bible says it. Now others have said it's true. This is where, what is the truth? Have you not, how many of us have been asking this question secretly? Confess now. How many of you just don't want to say it so that it doesn't become, you say it's not with my mouth, you hear it. However, these are our contemplations in the secret place. And somehow we know that in the answers we will receive lie in the next dimension of our understanding and knowledge. Like I said tonight, my job is not to create controversy. This is a long teaching, and I'm not here to begin to examine certain things, but there are three of this that I want to address. Three of it. Hallelujah. Many of you think I'm going to talk about appearance. I will not talk about appearance. So if you are one, let me tell you, there are three things. Okay, let me just talk briefly about appearance. Three things. Living faith will never be deeper life. Christ Embassy will never be celestial church. Look up. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So let me announce once and for all, on behalf of my glorious King and his government, ladies in the world, we will never reach a point where all the ladies in the world will stop wearing trousers, and we will never get to a point in the world where all the ladies in the world will wear trousers. Hello. I hope you like what I'm saying. We will never get to a point where guys will stop wearing jeans, and we will never get to the point where everybody in the whole world will wear suits. Listen, friends, the secret to the growth of the corporate body is to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. Hallelujah. So should I say something at least about appearance? Alright. Very quickly, we'll look at just one scripture. I didn't want to touch it. Hey, Holy Spirit, help me. You really want me to touch this? I will touch it if you can give me the popular scripture that says, let a woman not wear what belongs to a man. Who can give? Calm down. Deuteronomy what? Alright, let's go there and see what the word of God has to say. Deuteronomy what? Oh Lord, I pray. that your word will come with power, set men free. Many believers are saved, many are filled with the Holy Ghost, but very few are free. We hail you, Most High. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. This was Moses giving the law of brotherhood, as many translations put it. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Are you there? Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So that's the scripture that has brought all kinds of things. And we've had several people confused about all of this. I did a little study, shocking study. So follow me. We're going to examine just three words and then we'll be out of that place. Hallelujah. The word pertaineth in the Hebrew is the word keli, K-E-L-I-Y. And this is what it means in the Hebrew. We're examining that scripture. There are several believers that take scriptures out of context. That's why as much as possible, try to get a Bible concordance, Dex concordance, or at least buy Amplified. Many of us, you have one torn Bible that fire burned half of it. That's one you chuck in your pocket and break. How will you grow that way? When they open to the scripture, you don't see the first part of the verse you are looking for because fire has burnt it. And then you cram only half of it. Then you use it to build doctrines. Now, the word pertaineth in the Hebrew, this is what it means. It means, number one, an article. It means a vessel. It means an implement or an utensil. Isn't that amazing? That's what the word pertaineth means. Hallelujah. Very important. Now, the word man that is used in Deuteronomy 5 is not the word Adam. Interesting. I hope you know Adam means man from the dust of the earth. It's not the word Adam. It's the word, I don't know how to pronounce it, I-Y-S-H. You know, what they call it, that thing you put apostrophe, right? Alright, I-Y-S-H. And this is what it means. Listen. It means a soldier. It means a warrior. It means a man of war. Follow me. Are you listening to me? It means a warrior. A soldier. A man of war. Men that go for war. Now you understand the context, because at this point, Israel were always fighting. Hallelujah. Moses was giving something very, very powerful. And so, if this were to be arranged and put properly, this is what it would be in the Hebrew. The woman shall not put on the weapons or the armor of a warrior. Neither shall a warrior put on a woman's garment. For all that do it is an abomination unto the Lord. Women were not permitted to go for war. I hope you know that in Jewish customs. Women were not allowed. Relax. Women were not allowed to go for war. Listen, trust me, you are smiling. I'm soon coming back to the other side. Praise God. So Moses was admonishing the people, preparing them. It was an abomination according to the principles of the Jewish custom. That's why women didn't go for war. Scriptural proof. That's why Bathsheba was back at home. Hallelujah. When the people went for war. And David violated the principle, because kings followed the people to go for war, and he didn't go for the war. And so while he was meandering around his veranda, he saw the woman. Women were not. That's why till today, in certain nations of the world, women, it's just necessity that has made women to join military. Are you listening to me? It was not part of the Jewish customs. That's why the worst kind of warfare is that you kill men, women and children. Women and children were exempted. It's believed that when you capture the men and when you fight. How many of you remember when Gideon was going to fight the Midianites? Hallelujah. The women and the children were made to go back. And then all the men of war, were the ones who went and so on and so forth. So that's what he's talking about. He really wasn't talking about a man, Adam, as it were. He was saying it's an abomination to put on the robe of war. That when the men become so irresponsible to a point that the women have to wear an armorage and go for war, it is an abomination unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And so these things were taken, and then we began to use them to teach all kinds of things. And now that's where the concept of trouser came in, the concept of this and that came in, and several people have insulted the Western world. I've had on many pulpits many Africans and Nigerians ungratefully insulting the Western world. Let me tell you what our official dressing wear: rags, animal skin. So if we are going back, that's where we are going. Our official dressing was not skirt, it was animal skin. Let me tell you, the official Jewish clothes were even skirts. Jesus of Nazareth, your Jesus of Nazareth that you watch, what was Jesus wearing? Hold on, calm down. Listen, as you are, I told you I'm coming back. Because there are many of you that you're agreeing to what I'm saying. It's not an openness for truth. It's just a way of endorsing your heart of rebellion. We'll still check it. Hallelujah. So many people have been misled. And I know many books that have been written. And many people have been said, if you wear trousers, you are going to hellfire. Others have been said, if you wear skirts, you are going to hellfire. You are going to this, you are going to that. And sincerely, look at me. I'm not, if you know me, I'm not a whether trouser or no trouser person. That's really not me. The issue that the Bible puts, the central message, is true Christian character backed up by modesty and decency. What the church should be addressing is modesty. Because in Jewish days, prostitutes didn't wear trousers, they didn't even wear mini skirts, but what they wore was transparent. And there are many people who are like that. They say, Shay, you say don't wear trousers. Okay, I will not wear trousers. But what they are wearing can kill. So have we solved the problem? Are you listening to me? We have not solved the problem. Of there are so many people who camouflage in religiosity, but their hearts are terribly far away from God. And there are many people. I know a woman who for years had a big challenge with these things, and they truly believe. There are many people today who believe that demons attack them because they didn't make up. I know that we have read all kinds of occultic books that they use human hair, level 666, level 777, level 12, and they have used human blood to make this and all of that. And many of you, even cream you don't use because you say in the name of Jesus, blah, 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 story, this and that and that. Why are we religious? I have a question. Why do we allow religion to stop us from walking in the fullness of what God has called us? Whether you are wearing trousers or no trousers, if you come and you are indecent, it's our job to send you away and say, go and dress well. Hallelujah. The true Christian character should be that of modesty and decency. That whatever the Bible says, that let your eating meat not cause your brother to sin. If I'm going to deeper life today, I'll be stupid to dress like this and go to deeper life. Because, for instance, based on the doctrines and the tenets, they already believe. Why don't you quietly confirm for the sake of the gospel?
Welcome back. Wow. That's it from Apostle Joshua Selman. We're talking about the women dressing.
I listened to that young man. I don't know much about him. The much I know, he seems to attract the attention of the youth.
Very true.
So
very
much. Correct. That's why you seem to know so much about him. And you too, until you heard him say this.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, as I hear him talking, what comes to my mind is the endowment, that gift that serpent had.
Ew.
So much until an animal
convince
a human being.
My God.
To go against the commandment of God.
Right.
You see, as Joshua, what's his name? Selman.
Yes.
Joshua Selman is speaking as I'm listening to him. I hear another serpent talking.
Wow. Mm.
Downplaying the scripture.
Hey, Holy Spirit of God.
And what comes to my mind is also is when the blind lead the blind. How do I get this man? I want to meet with him. I wish somebody can get me his contact and let me talk. People say I don't why don't meet them and talk with them? Many of them don't give out their direct lines to the public. I have called a few of these men, you know, I've called. When I hear this, it's so irritating, you know, and I don't want to go blast them without, you know, seeing, making effort to see if they can see the truth. Then before I can place them, because, you know, they may not be working at the level they know. Maybe if they meet people like me and I take them deeper, maybe they will change. You know, I've really not been too happy at the way I react to them. You know, sometimes I think I get into the flesh. I should be more patient. But I'm telling you, as I hear this man talking, I see an agent of destruction.
My God.
God didn't call this man.
Yeah.
Eh?
No. There's no life in what he's saying. How can you tell me I told you before I became a minister, I told you I read this Bible and there were questions. And he's agreeing instead of going to find out why is living faith not having the same faith
Christ embassy.
With the Christ embassy.
Deeper life.
Or deeper life. Not having the same faith with apostolic. With Anglican. Why this one? Instead of him to ask, he is accepting it as it is. And the reason such people do that is so that they will be accepted by everybody. You can't preach this gospel with the mindset, with the approach of everybody accepting you.
I hear you.
Galatians 1:10.
That is the problem. I better read it for them.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God?
Do you persuade men or God?
Do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
You see, and this is where I am. That's why, like Apostle Paul, I may be rude in my speech.
Not in knowledge.
But knowledge. Not in knowledge.
Hallelujah.
How can a preacher who is studying the Bible and the pathway of salvation, and, you know, preaching the gospel, not be worried that this gospel that started one faith, one Lord, one baptism, has now degenerated into the splinter groups that we are, still holding to the same Bible, and you are not worried. And you are trying to let us see that it is okay by saying it will never be. Of course it will never be. That therefore we should just concentrate on our similarities rather than our differences.
That's right.
Why are you preaching the gospel? Why not stay on the similarities of human beings? Because the gospel of Christ is already talking about our differences.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We're already telling the Hindus.
Amen.
We're already telling the Muslims.
Muslims.
We're already telling the and all other religions that Christ said, I am the way, the truth and the light. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Amen. You have already spoken the similar.
I am come to set a man at variance.
You have forgotten what Christ said. Read it, my brother.
Matthew 10, verse 34 and 35.
Yes.
Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace.
Joshua said, well, you are looking for peace. You are not ready yet for this battle of the faith.
For I am come to set a man at variance against his father.
If it is this type of gospel you are preaching, do you think that they will have killed those apostles?
That's right.
Do you think 68 million believers that refuse your kind of gospel that will tell you that you and the Catholics, you are the same? So what are you preaching? Why are you going to the beer parlor to tell them not to drink beer? Don't you know that you are spoiling somebody's business? A whole brewery, you are trying to run them down. And yet you are telling them that it's wrong for them to go to nightclub. Don't you know that some people live by that nightclub? You are telling people they should not smoke. Don't you know that the cigarette factory employs thousands of people? You are telling people that they should not they should stop going to mosque. Don't you know they are risking their life? Don't you know that in Islam, if you denounce the faith and go to Christianity, you are sometimes the fanatics, they kill you. Do you know the risk you are taking? And you are even from the north. Why are you not preaching there? We are the same. Why are you not going to mosque? So stop this thing you people are doing. You know, I don't know what you want to gain by that. You are not ready for the gospel. You are going into the gospel. That is wrong. And people love that type of gospel. And let me warn them first before I answer you. Let me warn them first.
Please.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4.
2 Timothy 4.
This is the admonition.
Yes, sir.
To Timothy, and it is to me also. Pastor Moses.
From Pastor Walter.
From verse 3. In fact, reading from verse 1.
Amen. That's right.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come.
And now, that this scripture is now, it is this time now, it is fulfilled. What will happen?
For the time will come when they will not endure sound
doctrine. Who are the dead? The people that follow that man and think that he's a man of God, and they are enjoying the sermon that that man is preaching.
But after their own loss, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears?
They heap to themselves such teachers.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They turn away their ears from the truth.
And shall be turned unto fables.
Like what he's saying. What is preaching? Fables.
No way.
But watch thou in all things, endure affliction.
Pastor Moses, do what?
Do the work of an evangelist.
Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof
of thy ministry.
Make full proof of it. You people don't know. There is a warning that if you don't listen to the truth, this is what will become of you. I preach a message that I titled Deceived by God.
That's right.
Get that message and
that's
listen.
True.
Second Thessalonians chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Deceived by God.
When we preach the truth, you look at us as some fanatics, Abby. Second Thessalonians.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 2. It is a mystery for verse 7. What does it say?
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
What is the mystery of iniquity? How Satan has taken over the church. Planted his preachers in the church. And downplayed the gospel to what it is today. It's a mystery. But it started right from the time of
the apostles.
Apostle Paul. Yes?
Only he will not let it to let until he be taken out of the way.
The Holy Ghost is just allowing it until he leaves the earth when we live in the rapture.
Hallelujah.
And then shall that wicked be revealed.
When he's gone, the wicked one that started that thing, they will soon know who he is.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish.
In them, that is where it prospers.
That's right.
In people that are ordained to perish.
Because they received not the love of truth.
Because they received not
the love of truth.
The love of truth.
Hallelujah.
And thy word, the
it's
word of God,
it's
is
truth.
Amen. Let God be true and let every man be
a liar.
Amen. That they might be saved.
Yes.
And for this cause,
for this reason, what will happen?
God shall send them strong delusion.
To do what?
That they should believe a lie.
This is where I say God can deceive.
Man of God.
God will give them a delusion.
Spirit of delusion.
A spirit of delusion to do what? That they will do what?
Believe a lie.
You can imagine that God himself will make you believe a lie. So that in believing that lie,
that they all might be damned.
That they will all be damned.
Who believe not the
truth? Heresies. Damnable heresies. Because they believe not the truth,
but
they
have pleasure in unrighteousness
to live like the world, wearing trousers, women wearing trousers, painting themselves, dressing like whatever they want to dress, making no difference between them and the world. And then a preacher is telling them, you are going to heaven, you have a coma. 400 of them told Ahab, go in that battle.
We'll conquer.
So that, not knowing that it was a lying spirit to make Ahab, who has no love for truth, to go into that battle and be destroyed. But there was one. There
Hallelujah.
Always few. And the truth believers today, they are one. You count 400 before you find one. 400 preachers before you find a true preacher this day. 400 prophets were prophesying the same thing. See, all of them. All of them is this Selma type of sermon they are preaching. And people are following them. Until there's one Micaiah.
Hallelujah.
Watch the television stations one by one. Watch all of them one by one. They all say the same thing. All of them. And people are thinking because they are many, therefore they are right. But there was a Micaiah.
Amen.
That spoke the truth.
Amen.
And that's why verse 13, the second Thessalonians.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Through sanctification
through
of the Spirit.
Sanctification of the Spirit.
Through what?
Sanctification of the Spirit.
And what?
Belief of the truth.
Whereunto?
Whereunto he called you by our gospel.
Which gospel?
Our gospel. Amen.
To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Then verse 15.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions.
Hold the traditions
which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Thank you very much.
Oh, the ancient landmark. Hallelujah.
All this in Greek, it means this. Is going to battle. So a woman that wears the dress of a soldier is an abomination before God. God hates it because you wear. It doesn't even make sense.
It was never seen in Israel.
And it was never seen in Israel. So
like
why will he give that type of
nothing like that?
Now there's something here about Joshua Selma. I listened to one of the clip of his message, a video, where he commended the minister William Branham.
Certainly.
Now there is a problem with what he saw. In meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 6 fed 5,000. Listen to what I want to say. I just wish somebody can send this to such people that preach this kind of gospel, in particular this young man. Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me. Give us time. Don't cut us. Please, don't cut us. Don't say you have another program. Listen. Listen. He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread. And but they ate until the crusade was over. The next day, Jesus had moved on for another crusade in another place. Those people came looking for him. And when eventually they found him, please read it.
John 6.
That's right.
Please.
Verse 24.
I just hope this is instructive, enough. From verse 24. Okay, read it from verse 24. You're correct. Mm-hmm.
When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they found him on the other side
of the sea, found Jesus,
they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles.
That's right.
It's not because
ye saw the miracles.
It's not because you saw the miracle,
but because ye did it of the loaves.
But because of the bread you ate. That is it. They came. Oh, The next verse follows.
Labor not for the meat which perisheth.
Again,
labor not for the meat which perisheth.
Oh, I pray that this can be instructive to people like Selma. Many of you don't like me talking like this, but how else can I talk when somebody is messing up the word of my father? He said, you follow me, not because of the miracle you saw, but because of the bread you ate. I've explained it several times in case you are hearing
why
me.
Why the miracles?
And I preach a message, I pick a text from there. Why the miracle? People don't understand why the miracles. Why the miracles? Listen, the miracle was supposed to make them find out who is this man. It has never been done like that before.
Amen. Ask questions. True.
Who is this man? So that they will now find out who he is. And if they had gone now, the miracle attracted them, they would have followed him to know who he is. And they will have known that he has the word of life.
Amen.
Because the disciples in that same John chapter 6, he began to tell them about who he is, the bread of life, and that's things right. like that. And that is who he is.
That's right.
The miracle is supposed to make you know who he is.
That's right.
I tell you who he is. But they could not understand him. And by the time that you come to verse 65,
John and he said, therefore said I unto you,
yes.
that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father.
Now verse 66.
From that time, many
from
of his disciples,
time, what happened?
Many of his disciples went back and walked no more
They walked no more with him. But my emphasis in verse 67 and 68.
Then said Jesus unto the 12,
yes.
will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe.
And we believe.
Yeah, and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living
God. You are looking for eternal life. He said, you have the words of eternal life. And the words of eternal life is no miracle.
Amen.
Hey, man of God.
The miracle is to make you come to him and receive the word of eternal life.
I hear you, sir.
I give another example. Moses was sent to go to Egypt with a message. What is the message?
Let my people go.
Let my people go. But Moses said, if I go, they will ask me who sent me. Who will I say sent me? What's your name? I am that I am. These people will not believe me. Don't worry. What are you holding in your hand? Throw it down. Become snake. Pick it again. It became snake again. Put your hand in your bosom. Put his hand up. Bring it up. Leprous. Put it again. Put it. Bring it up. Clean. If they will not believe the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the second sign. And if they don't believe that one, then watch what will happen to them. What was the ministry of Moses?
To bring out the people.
To go and turn sticks to snakes.
At all.
And quickly when he got there, what is the evidence that your God sent you here? There must be evidence. Christian faith is an evidential thing.
Amen.
So that you will hear the message. They will hear the message. God equipped Moses with that miracle sign. God sent William Branham to the church with a message. Among the things that William Branham preached is the emphasis of that Deuteronomy 22, verse 5.
Amen.
That's right.
The dressing of a woman.
Amen.
William Branham was the one that gave more fire to it.
That's right.
True.
After the days of John Wesley.
True.
He was the one that gave it because the Pentecostals were concentrating on power without holiness. And other messages he gave to come out from the errors that Joshua Thelma is mentioning, those erroneous groups, the denomination, and saying they will never be believed them like that. They are part of the gospel. They are part of, they are the children of God. There's no way. So leave them. William Branham brought a message. We should come out of that.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Come back to Bible Christianity.
Amen.
Come back to the unity of the faith.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And the unity of the faith is not an association, Christian association of Nigeria,
at all.
Christian association of any nation. It is not the World Council of Churches.
Mm,
No. The unity of the faith is to come back to the apostolic faith.
Amen.
If this Bible does not unite me and you, Selma, nothing in the gospel has any similarity thereby between you and I. We will remain. This Bible separates us. We will remain in that difference until Christ will come and prove who is right or wrong.
That's right.
That's why he's the judge.
The showdown.
Amen.
And there will be a showdown.
Sure. Amen. Amen.
A perfect type of the Mount Carmel showdown.
Mm.
A perfect type of Aaron, his rod, and that of the other people.
That's true.
Aaron had life.
Hallelujah.
The rest dried up. All of you, show me the life that you can prove there. When you are still as worldly as you can with the kind of gospel that you people are preaching. You know what you are doing. You are doing it deliberately so that you can be accepted, and then you pull the crown and you will join the likes of those your spiritual fathers that you will never say anything against, no matter what you see them doing wrong.
All right.
Now, listen. The problem with you was that instead of you to see the miracles and the anointing and the power that was exhibited in the ministry of William Branham, like Christ, it is what you are looking for, he will give you. It is what you see in the ministry of William Branham, you will catch. You saw the anointing, I saw the message.
Hey,
man of God. Say it again, sir.
I will say it again.
Say it again, man of God.
All the denomination, none of them, no controversy over the grace, the power, the fire, the anointing that they know. No one in this age has reached the level of the ministry of William Branham.
Let's play that video. Where's Selma's testimony about the ministry
of
William Branham?
Oh, that'll be fine.
Let's sit back and watch the video of Joshua Selman about the ministry of William Branham.
I didn't used to prophesy. I've always walked in the demonstration of the Spirit, but that prophetic dimension was not there. One time, I was watching the videos of one of God's generals, and I was just looking at him. People had criticized him and said all kinds of things, William Branham. And while I looked at this man, I saw the compassion that was in him, and I said, human beings are wicked. They never know what it means to be anointed and the challenges that come with carrying the anointing. It's easy to just run their mouths and talk nonsense on people. And I was listening and looking at him, because I had searched for where are those who are an extension of these graces. And suddenly from my laptop, something just came upon my head. A very cold sensation, and for over 30 minutes it was just going down my body. And when it went down my body, I knew I had received something. The next meeting I would go for, it was like a joke. I was looking around, and then I'm seeing names of people on their heads and wondering, what is this? What has suddenly changed? You can know when you shift.
Wow, sir, that's it. That's his testimony about the ministry of Abraham.
Yes, you can hear what he said.
Exactly.
And what he said is the truth. That man was anointed. When people like Selma, you know, that is what they see.
The anointing.
The anointing. Now, people like young preachers that are coming up, you know what is attracting them to this, what they call their fathers in the faith, in the Christendom today? They see evidence of success, you know, with what they acquire.
The crowd,
you see them, the crowd that goes there. You see them fraternizing with government officials. They are the ones recognized. They have so much wealth. They display the wealth. Therefore, everybody wants to be like them. Nobody wants to be like Jesus. You see that this man saw William Branham, and all he saw was the power. The power was supposed to attract you to that ministry to find out, what is this ministry?
Amen.
Then you will have seen that that is the ministry of perfection.
Amen, and amen.
That he has a message for the church.
Amen.
And God, at this juncture of time, and this end as he prepares for home going, raised up a man like that, William Branham, with that message. Now you see the difference between me and him. Now the apostle said, while the other disciples who were following Jesus, right, they were following him. He gave them, remember that he gave them earlier on, power to
true.
Cast out devil, to heal the sick. In fact, so that you will understand what he was saying in John and Luke chapter 10. Luke, am I correct?
Correct.
Yes. Yes. Now, hear what he said. He said, I give thee power. Mm-hmm. Verse 17.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Okay.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
What he said here is that this was how Satan too was. But see how he fell. All the testimony people are given, Satan too was like that. He had all the glory. He had all the power. But see how he fell. Yakata.
Behold, I give unto you
watch power. It. Behold, I give unto you what?
Power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents.
In my name, he shall cast out devils. Hey, go ahead.
To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
And some people, this is all the scripture they know to be in the ministry. So every day they are casting out devils. Every day they are doing miracles, signs, and wonders. God,
notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirit are subject unto you.
Don't rejoice. No minister of God rejoices that find fulfillment in ministry, that I have a successful ministry. No Christian, that demons bow before you, that miracles, signs, and wonders happen in your ministry. But what?
But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Your own is, that is why he said, give diligence to make your calling and election
sure.
The reason is because there is the mystery of salvation that is not revealed to all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Hallelujah. And then he added that in the next verse 21.
In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent.
We hid this mystery from them.
The wise and prudent.
And has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in
thy sight. Like us, reveal it to us.
Amen.
Amen. Are ready to learn.
Amen.
You say, you're over 60 years, you say you're a babe. You say, unto babes. Who is a babe? You don't know. Why are you using? He said, as newborn babes.
Isaiah is in the world.
Go to Isaiah 28.
Isaiah 28.
My God. Amen.
Go to Isaiah. What did he say? From verse 8.
That's right.
For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness.
This is one of the tables you just hear. The one that Selma is serving from.
So that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge?
Now, this is why we are going about.
And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?
Who?
Them that are weaned from the milk.
And who are those that are weaned?
And drawn from the breast.
Which milk? The word of God.
Hallelujah.
Which breast? The old and the new testament.
Amen.
Why are you throwing out a commandment in the Old Testament that you know still has effect now? Not every ordinance, not every ordinance in the Old Testament, but we must be precept upon precept. That's what the next one says: precept upon precept, line upon line.
Here in the New Testament a little,
to give you a balance.
Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
That's the greatest problem that these people have. All of them talk about the ministry of William Branham, but they've forgotten. They talk only about the power among the messages that William Branham preached. They will tell you God sent him, but he went off what God
went
sent
to
him.
He went into teaching
instead of him to just stand on
be healing the
sick. If Moses had just come to be turning sticks to snakes, what will happen to the children of Israel in Egypt?
They remain in bondage
forever.
Wow.
There is a voice And it is that voice of William Branham that produced people like me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Whether you are among.
Amen.
So you have to catch it. Now, earlier on, I was trying to bring out something generally. You know, when God created man, if I read it, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
Genesis 1, 27.
This book.
So God created man in his own image.
Uh-huh.
In the image of God created he him.
Uh-huh.
Male and female created he them.
Male and the female created he them.
Mm.
Haba. Male, therefore, has his identity.
Mm.
When you see a man, it is not until he removed his crown and you see his genitals that you say he's a man.
True, sir.
When you see a woman, it is not until she removes her clothes, then you see her nakedness, then you say, oh, that is a woman.
Mm.
Even the dress is talking about you differentiating.
Amen.
Mm.
So that a woman will remain a woman in all identity.
Mm.
A man will remain a man in all identity. So there will be no confusion at all. When you want to address a man, and that also makes a woman to take her place, a man to take his place, is about orderliness.
Amen.
Therefore, when a woman begins to wear that which pertains to a man,
it's clear.
It's confusion.
Serious confusion, sir.
Why do you have to go near a woman, hear her voice, and you are struggling to know whether she's a man or not? Or a woman.
Does not even nature teach you?
You know, even naturally, and then even coming to the church, it's even another ordinance. Woman, when you are before God, worship or prophesying,
cover
your head. Difference, even in the appearance, they will notice a man and the woman who you are sitting in the church. So, why are you saying that it's confusion? It's a controversy. So you don't want to preach controversy and you are into the gospel. You're a preacher, you don't want controversy. And then talk about, he will even mention something about women preachers sarcastically. Because he wants his wife to be Mommy Joe.
Wife to be.
The Bible makes it clear. The Bible makes it clear. A woman should not teach to usurp authority over the man.
At all.
It's not by accident that Jesus Christ did not pick a woman out of his 12 disciples. And even after Judas left, it's not coincidence. That's why all the women that were close with the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, and from that on up to the book of Jude, we didn't see any letter written by any woman.
Gospel according to Mary.
No gospel, St. Mary Gospel, chapter 4, verse 3.
Not even matter.
It's not coincidence. Even in the Old Testament, concerning the temple, the type of the body of Christ, among the priests, there was no female priestess from the house of Levi.
That's right.
From the tribe of Levi.
Amen.
So why the confusion? But let me round that up. I mean, at least as per the question you asked me. You see, as I was explaining earlier, the truth is that this error,
back to the map,
I've gone so far. There's a way that will be spoken. It will be spoken in a way and continually spoken that with time it will be taken as truth. Do you know that a lot of errors that are going on in the Christian faith today, people have come to accept it as the Christian faith?
That's true, sir. Very true.
Do you know that people till today, there are many Christians that believe that Christ was born on 25th December?
Oh, that's true, sir.
Vast majority of Christians.
And they think that Christmas as a celebration is in the Bible or it's a Christian tradition.
All right, sir.
You see? That lie of 25th December has been accepted as
true.
The lie of ordaining women have been accepted
as truth.
Three persons in one God. It's another very big lie.
The Blessed Trinity.
It has been accepted.
That's true.
Water baptism, Father, Son, Holy Ghost has been accepted as truth. Do you know another thing that is not being accepted now as a truth? Is a man making other pastors his children and they referring to him as his daddy, as their daddy, as their daddy, as their daddy. Now, it starts small, small. Now, at the level it is now, everybody can say, what's wrong with it? Even Pastor Moses, people say, you're my daddy, you're my daddy. But the way they say Pastor Moses is my daddy is different from the way some of you call Oyedepo your daddy. You call Apostle Suleiman your daddy. I see the way you make reference to them. You worship them.
Idolize them.
You idolize them. And not looking at them as spiritual leadership.
That's true.
You go beyond that. Now the status were at the level it is now, nothing wrong. But you see it is going on tonight. You have now reached source of the prophet. You know, they recruit, they even advertise it. Now it's going very soon. You see where that thing will, you know, end up to. You see how Christianity has shifted until pastors are going to join politicians.
That's right.
You know, to vie for elective offices. You know, and you and I know that if you are going to yoke yourself with unbelievers for such offices, there must be compromises.
That's true, certainly.
The best thing that can happen to any nation is for the righteous to rule.
True.
But these people, you are there under the party system where only the party will nominate you. And we all know, if a party will nominate you to represent them and even spend their money and then bring you up and support you to into an office, certainly you must make some compromises.
Sure.
And a Christian, a true Christian, you can imagine the kind of compromise you will make. And that's why I find it very difficult for a pastor to say God has mandated him. Well, time will prove.
The time has improved.
We are praying that it come to pass. Because this country, Nigeria in particular, if only we can have the righteous to rule, people who have fear of God to rule. And so, when we hear Tunde Bakare,
Okotie,
and Okotie, and the Yamo, Yamo,
Samadeyemi also.
Samadeyemi too is going.
Yes.
And all these ones, we are praying that they will succeed. Hey, Father, let them be. So that we shall see how it will look like when a pastor becomes president of Nigeria. But I think one of the ministers, I think he's also a minister, he's one of the governors now.
Dapo Abiodun of Redeem.
Yes. What I saw is a pastor. And I saw that he gave an award to somebody who won a reality program, Big Brother. So I don't know how he want to match that with righteousness. I don't know how that will be. But very sincerely, my prayer is that one day a God-fearing person will be the president of Nigeria. That we go there as a believer of the faith. And it must not be a pastor.
Exactly.
Why I'm against pastor going there is the call that we have is already higher than that.
Amen.
Man of God.
So when you abandon this high call,
primary assignments,
you know, the Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ.
My God.
But, and if God has already called you and given a portion of his kingdom to watch over, and then you're coming again to look for you know, political office to hold. If they appoint you, any appointment they give you, they already know what you believe. So they appoint you, you know. I know one of my former boss in the office, it was an Air Vice Marshal. Retired as an Air Vice Marshal. I'll never forget that. And he was of the Grail movement. And I knew him if I walked directly with him. If there is any honest person I've ever met on earth, not even after I became a Christian, that is the first person I have ever met. Now, don't you talk of honesty. I was in charge of their finance, so I know what they do, you know, with public funds. That's the man that you give him money, he will return the one he didn't use when he goes on any official visit anywhere. Well, why I remember him is that everybody knows him to be a very straightforward person. Now they made him to go and be the chairman of the selection board in the Nigerian Defense Academy. And you know, such places, a lot of influences, a lot of this, a lot of that, so many years ago. And when the order came out, all of us who knew him were saying, hey, they're sending this man to go and be, hey, let me see what will happen. He was second in command, in our command. I'm saying this so that Christians should listen to us. When you see people who are, that man was not a Christian. He's a member of the Grail movement. And he said that, you know, he went for the exercise, and when he came back, I went to welcome him in his office. I said, sir, I know it was a very difficult task. He said, it's a normal thing. I said, how were you able to cope with the pressure? He said, didn't they know who he was before they appointed him? I will never forget that. I was not a Christian, I was not a believer. He said, didn't they know who he was before they appointed him? And he said, they said, when they got there, they brought one list. They said, this is chief of army staff list. This is chief of defense staff list. He said, he called the chief of defense staff who constituted the board. He said, I have a list here. If you people already have a list of people to be taken, why do you send us here to do any exercise? So, sir, do we present that list and dismiss? They have not done the interview. They have not done the medical. They have not, you are sending list. That is corruption. And you will not be part of it. He said, the man apologized. He said, please, 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 discard any list sent to you and do your job. He said, thank you, I will do my job. And he kept it. He was telling me that. He said the only one that paid him in the whole exercise was the son of his boss. That he was next in command to the man. And his son came for the interview from Kano State. He said the one that beat the number they were to select is by merit. He said beat his ogre's son by 1 point. He said, to remove that other one that beat him by 1 point and put him, he said he was wishing this man did well. He said that his conscience will not let him do that. He said, so he couldn't take him by 1 point. His boss, who told him, my son will be coming for the interview. I said, did you explain to him? He said, do I need any explanation? He didn't pass. That's all he said. I said, no, sir, I had to advise. I said, but go and tell Ogana why he failed. He said, okay, I'll tell him. But I don't know the outcome. But I know he will have gone to tell him, oh, your son missed it by 1 point. Let him try again next time. Let him improve. Now, that is the kind of people we need to rule this country. And many other virtues of that man that I saw, I believe God, knowing I will come and be a pastor when they were trying to teach me, see people. When you are talking of that man, what are the Rechabites?
Jeremiah 35.
The sons of Rechabites. The Rechabites. You saw how they stood. Do we have people who will say, the Bible said this, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers? Pastor, we should do everything and push Christians into politics. But how many have gone there and exhibited righteousness and shone the light there? They join them. They do whatever they do. You know, we see them doing politics. When it is time for Muslim holiday, we see the Christian governors sending messages of goodwill to Grail Movement, to a Kanka program, to a Rosicrucian program, to Muslim festivals. We are one. That's politics, because the truth is we are one. Don't let religion divide us. That is what politics. That's why I say a Christian preacher cannot go and say that. Therefore, he cannot be in politics. Anyway, that is my view. Pastor Moses, are you saying that if they say they want to make you president today, you will not go? Nobody will ever make you president. They'll kill you the next day. You see? So I want you to note, you know, that when it comes to the Christian faith, this end time message of restoration, the error has gone too far. That's what I want to emphasize. The error has gone from the path of truth too far. In fact, so far from the truth. So far that in this age, you say you're Issachar waiting. In this age, for a woman in this age to believe that to wear trousers is wrong. When is he hearing people like Selma? People like, there's another man in Port Harcourt. I heard him say, they wear trousers. Hey, a Biomi or something like that.
David the Biomi.
Yes, in Port Harcourt. And many of them, Christ Embassy, many of them.
Yeah. You know, Abel Damina too.
Abel Damina too. Almost all of them. They are hearing people and they are very eloquent and they are very anointed and they are very influential. So what are you saying? Did you hear the comment he said? You know, don't criticize Deeper Life, because to him, the way he presented, he was quoting Apostle Paul by higher revelation. If you're exercising your freedom, another person will be offended. He said, don't eat it. Because of him. So, he said, if you are going to Deeper Life Church, you already know what they believe. So, you dress like them. So that you don't. I just talk. I said, you won't dress like them. They won't allow you to enter. So, they won't even allow you to enter with the trouser. Come to Brand Assembly now. From the gate, we will remove your earring.
That's right.
That's right.
When they burn you, is it a rig that was identified you as a woman? They put a hole in your face. Don't you see that Bible forbids you putting any mark on your body? I heard one of them was talking that there's nothing wrong about tattoo and all those things. You know. So. From the gate, he said, where are you going? They're going to worship. Abraham, don't you know who we are? How do you believe? Can two walk together and say they're removed if you want to come, because you will stumble us. Talk less of wearing trousers. One, I've noticed last Tuesday I noticed a youth couple that came for one of our programs. I noticed, I'm sure they gave her that wrapper at the gate.
That's
because,
right.
Because she looked like a comedian when she tied that wrapper.
Her trouser.
You know, so it can cover her trouser.
That's true.
And then so, maybe people are saying, Mr. Matt, we say we are fanatics. We are always standing on the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, so as I was saying, the error has gone so far that it will take the Holy Ghost alone. It will take the Holy Ghost. Whatever other heresies you people have, it will take the Holy Ghost. That is the problem I have with so many of these are holiness preachers. You know, now a lot of us, many of the holiness preachers, you know, they concentrate so much on the outward appearance and do not know how to affect the inward dressing.
Outward appearance, you see, and inward
there
dressing.
There is both the inward dressing of the spirit and the outward dressing of the body.
Son of God.
So, people also think that because you cover your head, you don't wear a ring, you wear skirt, and you don't wear trousers, and you cover all your body and things like that. Therefore, you're a Christian. Christianity is more than that.
Amen.
Christianity is both inside and outside.
Amen.
If you have something inside, you reflect outside. But outside can also be deceptive. So we must balance it. And so when my ministry started, the pastoral ministry started, I have always believe that we that preach this, we put the cart before the horse. I believe that before a Christian, because you cannot show anybody in the New Testament that you should not drink alcohol. You cannot write it there. That's why there's controversy about trouser wearing, smoking, and so many other things. There are things that are not written expressly there.
That's right, sir.
So, the only way is first, get the people to receive the Holy Ghost. It will lead you to all truth. A man does not have the Holy Ghost in this age, you will be sticking the fetters, like William Branham said. If you begin to make him live by law. We are not under the law. We are not to live by a law. The law we have now is the law of the Spirit of Christ. The leadership of the Holy Ghost. That is what I've always believed and what I've practiced. And I have seen it manifest everywhere, many places I have gone. Where they come to my program wearing trousers, my crusades, wearing trousers. But by the second day, those same people, many of them, after we do minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they come and you see them without even speaking about it. William Branham gave an example. He said when he went to South Africa, those natives there, some of them half naked. They came for the first day. He said he didn't talk about dressing, but when the Holy Ghost come down, some of them are convicted, they were crying. He said the second day they come, he said he didn't see anyone naked. Who taught them?
Hallelujah.
That is the power of the Holy Ghost. So, my conclusion when I meet people or followers of such teachings of Selma and the rest, my conclusion is that you cannot walk beyond your faith, your revelation. You say you have the Holy Ghost, but I want to call your attention. I know sisters that have received the Holy Ghost, like you have received the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost that they received warned them, not because they had Pastor Moses. Some of them, it happened before the meeting us was just a confirmation of what they have had. Warned them not to wear
earrings and trousers.
There is a sister that went to Europe and went back after receiving the Holy Ghost here and then started wearing trousers. She said in Europe, she called me from Italy. She said that immediately she wear that trousers and she fire will be burning and the Holy Ghost telling her, drop that thing, drop that thing, drop that thing. You know, and she had to stop it. Hey, but where we are, it's very cold. Okay, now. In the days of Apostle Paul, they also had winter. This winter didn't start in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it's the 21st century. So don't say that. And we have sisters who are in Europe, in America, in the Western world, where they have this strong cold during the winter. And they know what to package inside and cover it with a skirt to look like Christmas. A scented woman.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's the word.
So if your own Holy Ghost make sure to drink alcohol, smoke cigarette. Go ahead. You hear? But I can show you other sisters that the voice clearly told them, don't put that on. A sister said, she said, but other people are putting it, said, they can put it, but you don't put it on. So why will he allow some put it on and some not put it on? That is the mystery of redemption. That is another mystery entirely. For the foundation of God standard,
sure.
The Lord knoweth them that are his. That means not all that are his.
Amen.
Adam knew that Cain was not his son.
Hey.
Okay now. So that you will understand the mystery of redemption. All these teachings are damnable heresies.
Amen.
If you follow them, you will be damned forever. See where you will end up. Because you will be far from the truth.
Wow, sir, thank you so much.
Wow.
You know, it's funny to even imagine that an apostle does not even know the history of women putting on trousers.
Exactly.
Now, not even about the Old Testament, anything. You know, the history. Because you know, even in the Western world, it was also recent that this began.
Yes.
That's true.
Because in France, read somewhere where a woman activist stood up a few years back and said that there is a law that needs to be expunged from their books, that in a certain century that it was a law that a woman must not wear trousers. If they caught you wearing trousers, you know, it was against the law. There was a penalty for it. But he said that law is still there, and people are wearing trousers. Since nobody's applying it every day, she's afraid that somebody will wake up one day and bring that law and apply it, because it is still valid. It's still in their books. So it caught my attention. So there was a time in France that trouser wearing was abomination.
Abomination indeed.
Because of Catholicism.
That's true.
You know, because of Catholicism. And up to this moment, you know that the Catholics, the nuns, they cover their head. The Catholic women.
That's true.
The core Catholic women in their convents and wherever, they don't wear trousers.
Certainly.
They don't wear trousers. Certainly. And they're in Europe.
That's right.
Okay. They're in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they were ruling. They had great influence in governance that time. Mm-hmm. So certainly it was their members that were rulers. So certainly that law will be there according to the Bible.
Very true.
So if you are not convinced by all the scriptural analysis of our pastor, why not just Google it? History. You discover that trouser wearing began about just 100 years ago. No,
that's right.
It started as fashion then after the Second World War, when women started taking up jobs that men were doing.
True.
They started wearing trousers. It's a very beautiful and interesting history.
And also, ordaining of women ministers. A lot of people don't even know the genesis of it.
True, sir.
It is something that emanated from the Western world, particularly America, and of course Europe. That when the law for marriage, the government marriage, marriage and divorce, seem to favor the women more. If you're married to a woman under their law, in Europe, in America especially, that's the one I know. If there should be a divorce, I think about 70% of what the man has goes to the woman.
Wow.
In settlement. About 70% or more. And that is why divorce is a serious matter. That is why if a woman is killed, murdered somewhere, the first thing in their investigation, the police, is to find out whether they were having issues, the man and the wife. Maybe if they ever find out that the woman was threatening divorce, he becomes the first suspect. They investigate him in and out. Because what they do is, you want to leave. They collect all I earned all these years, 70%. And so they arrange and kill the woman. And they are free. So now when these Pentecostals came into the gospel and prosperity began and money began to come in and ministry began to expand, the only security to secure your empire, your business called church, is to involve the woman in it so that she sees herself as a stake in it. So that will bring peace. So that you don't create problem every time you are in the church, every time you are this. Bring her into the ministry. Keep her also busy, in fact, more busy than you, if possible. So that you people can have an understanding and have peace. That is how they smuggle women into the ministry. We in Africa say, we don't need it. Our law here, both traditional and otherwise, favor the man so much that it is the woman that prays, let there be no divorce, therefore. If she misbehaves, you can even add a second one on top. So the law here generally favors the man.
That's
therefore,
true.
The man has no reason to ordain the woman. But, you know, everything here is copy.
Colonial
mentality. Everything, neocolonization, colonial mentality. Everything done from the West is normal. Everything. And Joshua Thelma, I know he's not married yet. That William Ram also preached against ordination of women.
He didn't ordain his wife.
His wife was not a mommy Jew.
At all.
Okay. Men will be answerable to her. And in my church, My wife is not a mommy Jew.
At all,
but I've given her responsibility as limited to what a woman can do in the ministry.
Amen.
Yes, because when it comes to counseling, a woman can handle women issues better. So my wife helps in taking care of the women fellowship, to take care of women affairs, and also any other responsibility I can give her, but she cannot be ordained. And that's why she does not sit at the altar with the ministers.
Amen.
And no minister sits at the altar with his wife. And that is what we are restored to. Like our old apostolic fathers, Peter and the rest, we don't know the their wives were not mommy Jews. It is an error that you people copied from the West. God bless you.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. Wow. It's been an eye-opening episode of Rapture Watch, and we trust you've been richly blessed by this beautiful exposition from the Issachar brother, Pastor Moses. Thank you so much, sir. Senior Issachar. Okay. We pray that God will continue to
increase this. Sorry, let me just quickly add.
Yes, sir.
I listened to one of the people criticizing me. I love you criticize me because it helps me, gives me opportunity to make clarifications. Some of them who have my phone number, one of them was saying, one of those, what's his name? Chibuzo. One evangelist, Chibuzo. Somewhere, they were down here. I listened to a video.
Ejibo.
Listened to one of his video where it made me a subject of the sermon, and of course I'm expecting that as I point out people's error, me too, if I'm in error, point it out, but I can assure you if I'm in any error, I will correct it immediately.
Amen.
Because I didn't say I'm perfect, but I will walk within what I know, and it is what I know I preach about.
Amen.
I said I'm in the message, and I'm giving my wife an office, that she has an office, so if she's to carry out assignments I give her in the church. She should sit down inside the open auditorium to see people, to hear women coming to cry to her needing advice. You don't see a lot of people, some of them criticize for criticizing sake.
That's true.
We have our sisters who are gifted, and our brothers who are gifted. And we give them offices where they can stay and minister to people.
Of course, in your privacy.
Is it wrong? what is wrong in it? Does that make them ordained ministers?
Fault finding.
Don't sisters prophesy in your church? if you had a space like we have here, you will provide for them.
True.
Where they will sit down and attend to people.
Certainly, sir.
Evangelist Chibuzo, it's a pastor now. Pastor Chibuzo and your likes, a lot of them don't criticize for criticizing. No, she must have an office. No,
that's right.
Where she will attend to people because I gave an appointment.
That's right.
And she's not lording over any man.
That's right.
And our leadership in the church here are group leadership.
Amen.
But we have groups that are only prayer groups that are only women. And we put women to be in charge of women. So they're led by women. But none of them, including my wife, she's not ordained.
Amen.
And she does not sit where ordained ministers sit in the church.
Amen.
She sits in the congregation with all other sisters. And if that bothers you, then you are just creating problem for your emotions for nothing. There's nothing wrong in what I have done scripturally. God bless you.
Thank you so much. I want to especially thank all sponsors of Bright TV. People can watch us from all over the world because of these offerings you've been sending for the propagation of the gospel. I'm not doing it for any man. I'm not building anybody's empire in this church. We are only preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, and don't stop giving those offerings. The Lord will reward you richly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Until we meet again, this is Rapture Watch, only on Bright TV, Timely Technology. God bless you. Shalom.
Shalom.